Good morning and praise the Lord. It is again a wonderful opportunity and privilege in our life to gather together to remember and to worship our blessed Savior. It is a duty and also it is a delight. And I hope that we have enjoyed that time, and every time when we gather together, there is always a temptation that it can be a routine, a tradition, and we can fail to see the glory and the majesty and the depth and the beauty and the greatness and the goodness of God in saving us. And it is very important that we prayerfully prepare our hearts every day when we gather together in His holy presence, that we may appreciate our Lord more and more every day in our life. This morning, I would like to speak from one of the most beloved passages in the Bible, probably the crown jewel of Scripture, the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. A psalm of comfort, consolation, hope, confidence, and trust in the power, presence, provision, and the protection of a great shepherd. So this is indeed the confession of a sheep. And the sheep is making a confession of faith about the sheep's experience with this shepherd, and the greatness and the goodness and the power and the presence and the protection and the provision this great and wonderful shepherd gives to this sheep. We know that the book of Psalms is the hymn book. It is the song book of the children of Israel, the hymn book of the Hebrew people. Its sublime poetry reflects the experience and the emotion of the people of God, and that is reflected beautifully in prayer, in lament, in praise, and in worship. That is why whenever we read it, we are thrilled and we can relate to every psalm, every line of it. Psalms play on every keyboard of the human heart, and it is filled with human emotions, and all those beautiful psalms and all that wonderful poetry, it appeals to our heart and to our experience. Even though we probably all of us or most of us have memorized this psalm and we can recite it, I have often wondered the familiarity with this psalm. Because of our over-familiarity with this psalm, we might have lost its real meaning and significance. So through a meditational exposition of this psalm, I would like to highlight the wonderful truths about the shepherd primarily, and how the sheep is consoled and blessed and led and guided and protected and provided. And finally, the sheep is in the home with the shepherd in that eternal home. So shall we read Psalm 23? I'm reading from the NKJV text. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Loving Father, thy word is settled in heaven forever, and there is no higher authority than your authority and the derived authority we have when we preach the word of God. We pray that as we expound this glorious and wonderful psalm, speak to our hearts and may we have a fresh appreciation of our good and great and chief shepherd, that we may be comforted, we may be restored, we may be revived and renewed in our Christian life, in our service to you, and in our walk with thee. We commit this time to thee in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, in the first part of this psalm, and throughout this psalm, the Lord is our shepherd. But the Lord also presents himself as our guide who leads us. And towards the end of the psalm, the shepherd becomes the host. And he entertains, he blesses his guest with wonderful gifts and luxurious hospitality. So shepherd and guide and a host, that is one way to look at this psalm. Now, if you look at Psalm 22, that is our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross as the good shepherd. The Lord said in John's Gospel chapter 10 that I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But when we come to Psalm 23, he is our great shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, we read of him as the great shepherd of the sheep, who leads, who provides, and who equips his people and blesses his people. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when we come to Psalm 24, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd, one who will come back and reward us for faithful service. So Psalm 24 tells, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. So the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd is portrayed beautifully under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in these three psalms. So that is not accidental. That adds to the beauty and the glory and the relevance of the message of the Holy Scriptures if we take time to study it, understand it, and delight in it. So that is one way to look at this psalm. Now, in this psalm, it begins, the Lord is my shepherd. Not that the Lord was my shepherd. You know, I have seen that many of us are tempted to say that, oh, the Lord was my shepherd. I have trusted in the Lord once. You know, I have known him. I was born and brought up in an assembly, brethren home, or a Christian home. I have attended Sunday school. I have been born again. The Lord was my shepherd. That's not the issue. The issue is, can we say the Lord is my shepherd? It is in the present tense. It denotes an ongoing, energetic, exciting, delightful, cordial, intimate relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. I think if all of us can say that, and if it is very true of all of us, I believe our gatherings will reflect it. Our prayer meetings will reflect it. Our singing will reflect it. Our remembrance will reflect it. Our worship will reflect it. You know, because the Lord is my shepherd. There is reality, there is truth, there is meaning. But probably what happens is many of us are just looking back, you know, our tradition, our heritage, the big spiritual pride we carry with it. And we say the Lord is or was and the Lord a kind of shepherd, you know. But that's not what David is saying. David, before he became a king, he himself was a shepherd. He was a shepherd boy. That is how he started his life. So he can very well relate to every syllable, every word, every sentence which he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, that's what I want to say this morning. That is what I want to say throughout my life. That is what I want to say on Monday. That's what I want to say on Tuesday. That is what I want to say in my college, in my university, in my classroom, in my dorm, in my hospital, in my kitchen. The Lord is my shepherd. I have an intimate relationship with the Lord. I enjoy that. And I am his sheep. And he is the shepherd who leads me. So that is what David is saying. And the Lord, L-O-R-D, uppercase, is Yahweh, the covenantal name of God. That is, in God, in a relationship with his people, the covenantal name, the relational name of God. And that shows the wonderful, ongoing, warm, intimate, happy relationship we have with our Lord every day of our life. And that is the confession of this sheep. It's not an artificial thing, you know. Like in assembly, sometimes people are compelled to give their testimony. And how artificial that is, you know. Because many of the things which we do become very legalistic. If you don't say it, if you don't pray it, if you don't read it, if you don't preach it, what others will think. So we have to fit into that mold, and Satan deceives us, and we try to fit into an assembly mold every time we try to do things. And there is any reality behind it? That is what we have to think when we open the word. That is how the word of God touches our hearts, challenges our hearts, challenges our minds. The Lord is my shepherd. Actually, as I was reading and preparing and meditating, I couldn't go beyond that because that was coming very heavy upon me. Not 44 years ago when I started my ministry. That's not the issue. The Lord is. What about today? Is he so real to you? Have you committed your entire life to him? Are you living under his authority? Are you trusting in him completely for everything in your life? Is he the healer, the provider, the protector, the guide, one who will meet every need you have, everything in your life? Does it center around him? The Lord is my shepherd. Wonderful relationship, that covenantal name. I shall not want, I shall not lack anything in my life. The Lord will meet all our needs according to his riches in glory, but the Lord will not meet our greed. You know, so that is the problem sometimes we have, that we are thinking about our greed, and then we want the Lord to meet our greed, all our dreams, all our ambitions, you know, and all our agenda. The sheep is saying, no, all what I need and require for my life, the Lord provides. And that is his promise. And what is his promise? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things in the context in Matthew 6:33, the context is food and clothing and the basic needs of life. He will add that to you. That is a promise. I believe it and I know you believe it. And he said he will do it. And I'm sure he has done it to all of us. But our problem is we are going after the American dream. And we want God to meet all our American dreams. And that is why we pester God, we try to twist our God's arms and say, give me that, give me this, give me that. Please pray for this, please pray for my child. Pray for what? For your child. Your child has everything. So what do we pray? Our mindset is, we want more riches like everybody in the world. We want more material prosperity like everything in our neighborhood. If it is the Lord's will, the Lord can give that to us, no doubt. But the Lord said, all these things the Gentiles seek. All these things the Gentiles seek. That is their preoccupation. Are you preoccupied with those things? Is that affecting your spiritual life, your married life, your family life? You attending the meeting? Is that affecting your life? The Lord said, all these things the Gentiles seek. They don't have a clue about this true and the living God. But your heavenly Father knows what you need. Then he said, seek ye first his kingdom, his authority in your life, and his holy standards, his righteousness. And all these things, passive voice, will be added. Not that you will get it. It will be added and credited to your account. What a tremendous promise is that. In olden days, when I was growing up, I could see poor believers living by it. My parents living by it. And millions and millions of believers all around the world that did not have anything like today as we have. We have been immensely blessed educationally, materially, in every way. I praise the Lord for that. But let us put things in perspective. We need wealth, we need money, we need riches, we need all these things in this world. But let us put that in the proper perspective under the Lordship of Christ. And see what exactly the Word of God demands from our life. Why do we preach the Word of God? What is preaching? What is the goal of preaching? The goal of preaching is not to accommodate everybody in the pulpit. That's what most people in our assemblies believe. You know, what is the goal of preaching? The goal of preaching is to bear to life the eternal truth of God's Word. And those guidelines should mold our life and our thinking, that God's people may be able to adjust their life in accordance with it. So it is a powerful reminder every week. That is why, as I always say, some of you don't like it, but that is the truth. The sacred is so, the pulpit is so sacred. You know, because this is the time when the whole assembly gathers together. This is the time for practice. This is not the time to accommodate people. This is the time for irresponsible visitors to come and say whatever they want. This is the time to build up the congregation of God responsibly. And I know that is not in our philosophy, but it need to be, because it is a sacred entrustment to us. And that is very, very important for us. You know, because otherwise this is the only time. Bible study, half of the people are not here due to various reasons. I do not know all the reasons. Wednesday we know the story. Other days we know the story. This is the only time. If anything important has to be taught and shared from the Word of God to energize, to motivate the people of God, this is the time to do it. And that standard of it cannot be compromised. And I don't have any sympathy or support for anyone who tries to do it. Whether you call it assembly or brethren, I don't care about that. That is not the issue. The issue is the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God. I'm saying this with burden, with concern. Our assemblies need to change their policies about the ministry of the Word of God. Don't cheapen that. This is happening world over, and that has resulted in the decline and the fall of many, many assemblies, because we have not honored the Word of God. So this is, you know, the Psalm tells and teaches us about all these things, about this shepherd. How will I know this shepherd? Only when I read it, when I study, when I meditate it, when people teach me, when the word of God is proclaimed, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now that is the sheep's confession. You know, it is talking about the green pastures, the green hills where the sheep can eat, you know, good plenty of grass and drink water. But at the same time, what about us? How will we compare that? Leads me to the quiet or still waters and green pastures. For us, of course, it reminds us that the Lord will take care of our physical needs, no doubt. But in my understanding, and I'm sure you will agree with that, for us, the green pastures and the water and all those things also speaks about our spiritual nourishment. Our spiritual nourishment. Where is your green pastures every day in your life? Do you have green pastures? This is the green pastures, the still waters, the word of God in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. You know, the water is symbolic of the word of God. Here the sheep is describing the sheep's experience, you know, of getting good food and good water and the rest the sheep needs and how the shepherd provides for it. And what does the shepherd provide? Provide all these things. So the shepherd meets our physical needs. And the shepherd also needs the spiritual needs. And the restoration of my soul, it talks about a spiritual revival, a spiritual renewal, a spiritual revitalization, and a spiritual re-energizing through the word, through prayer, through waiting in the presence of God. Shall we take a moment and think in your house? Most of us are blessed with very big houses, praise God. Is there a place which you can call as your green pasture, the place where you quietly sit and where the Lord restores your soul, where you ponder over the word of God, where you kneel down, where you keep your Bible, where you keep other books, a quiet place for a quiet time, where every day we receive spiritual nourishment, we talk to God, we receive messages from Him, we receive His direction. And that is what these words reminds me. Then He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He meets my physical needs, spiritual needs, and my directional needs. Oh, how we need to make important decisions in our life. Whether it is in relation to marriage, whether it is in relation to education, whether it is in relation to your career, your ministry, in relation to a mission field to which where the Lord may be calling you, everyday decision concerning your children, I find here the shepherd giving the directional needs. How I praise the Lord for that. I remember He leading me, guiding me every day of my life. The moment I trust in Him, I cast my anxieties upon Him. And I know all of us can probably relate to it. Your directional needs. Young people, let me have a special word with you. For your directional needs, you need this shepherd. And without his direction and guidance, you cannot make decisions that will glorify God. And we see the consequence of that in our assemblies and in our families. So selfish and independent decision according to the whims and fancies of the world and the contemporary culture. No, look at this verse. He leads me in right paths So if your decision was from the Lord, if you made the decision in the will of God, it will reflect the righteousness of God. Some years ago in Dallas, a young man came to me and said, "Uncle, I'm dating a girl and I want you to officiate the wedding." I said, "Young man, I will be more than happy. Is this girl a believer?" "No, uncle, I want you to speak the gospel to her and convert her." "Oh, that's not my calling, by the way. That's not my calling. You decide to marry someone and I come and speak the gospel, communicate the gospel, share the gospel so that you can marry her. I can share the gospel, but that is not the way for you to find a bride for your life. You know, that has to match with the righteousness of God." That's just only one example. You know, but even for us parents and grandparents, the decisions we make, it should reflect the righteousness of God, the standards of God. How do we know that your decisions are wise and in the will and plan of God? It will reflect the righteousness of God, the standards of God. That is why He leads me in the paths of righteousness. So when you make a decision and come and tell your father and mother, "This is what I made," if it reflects the righteousness of God, well and good. If it does not make the righteousness of God, you have not made it in consultation with the shepherd. That's a very important truth. Physical need, spiritual needs, and the shepherd will meet my directional needs. What a wonderful truth. In every decision, every important decision, what we have to make in our life, in relation to spiritual life, material life, career, our profession, education, marriage, buying properties, moving to a new house, ministry, missions, plan, joining an assembly, whatever it is, we will meet our directional needs for His name's sake. That is the ultimate. That is the ultimate aim. That is the ultimate objective. His name may be glorified and we may be blessed. Then we read, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You know, we are always in the green pastures. Life is not all about green pastures. It's also about the valleys of life, deep valleys of life. So from the mountain peaks, sometimes we go to the deep valleys of life, the dark valleys of life. That is an essential part of our life here today. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, the valley of the shadow of death talks about all the defeat and failures and the disappointments and the challenges and sickness and trials and frustrations of life. It can also be symbolic of death. That is why many a times this psalm is read during funeral services, you know. But that is not restricted to death alone. It portrays all the difficult, dark circumstances of life. Now, even if we take it as death, it is only the shadow of death. Are you afraid of shadows? Shadows are actually shining light. So the word of God tells that it is, even when it comes to death, it is only the shadow, because only the shadow remains. The substance and the sting is removed by the death and resurrection of Christ. And for the believer, only the shadow remains. That is why Paul cried out in 1 Corinthians 15, "Where is your sting? Where is your victory? Where is your triumph?" Death has no triumph. It only casts its shadows. The substance is taken away. We go through the valley of the shadow of death. We go through the valley of suffering, sickness and problems, disappointments. We go through all that, so that we may rise up on the mountaintop on the other side. Even when we go through the valleys and those difficult, challenging times in life, the shepherd is with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Goodness and mercy follow us. He protects us. He provides for us. He watches over us. And we are there in the shadows and in the valley under his providential plan and purpose. David himself was in such valleys many a times, in the shadow of death many a times. We think about the book of Job and how he went through that ordeal in his life. And that was under the providential plan and sovereign purpose and protection of God. And the valleys will come upon us only as far as and as long as the Lord will allow it. And then he will take us away from the valley and he will bring us to the mountaintop. I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid because thou art with me. I find another comforting truth here. He meets my emotional needs. He meets, I fear no evil. I don't have to be afraid of anything because he meets my emotional needs. He takes away my fear, my worry, my anxiety, my concern, even in the midst of the valleys of life. What a wonderful truth is that. Do you know this shepherd? Do you know him intimately? You remember what the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. How do we know that I am his sheep and you are his sheep? Today it is not fashionable for us to say, oh, you cannot say whether a person is a believer or not. Yes, you can. How? The Lord said, you can say whether a person is a believer or not. And say it, believers. Say it, brothers. The Lord said it. If you are a believer, if you are his sheep, you hear his voice and follow him. And in John's Gospel chapter 10, in the first few verses, the Lord mentioned the voice of the shepherd three times. The sheep, my sheep, hear my voice and follow me. That is how we know whether we are the children of God. What is the contemporary theology? Oh, brother, don't say anything about them. They may be believers. Look at what's happening to God's people. Look at what is happening to our theology. You know, we cannot say anything about anyone, even in the light of God's word. And the Lord said that my sheep will not pay attention to the voice of strangers and other shepherds. Are you heeding the voice of strangers and other shepherds? Probably you need to make sure whether you are the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. And even when we deviate from the path, we are not perfect in our obedience and in our following him. That is why we read, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod is that heavy club that will protect the sheep from wolves and wild animals. The staff is the crook that will pull the sheep back to the fold. So even when I am not perfect, even when I wander, I backslide, that crook, that staff, you know, brings me back to the fold. What a wonderful truth. And when I am attacked by others, by strangers, those who are not shepherd, then the heavy club, you know, the road that will wield off all the wild animals. The Lord, as our shepherd, meets our physical needs, spiritual needs, our directional needs, and our emotional needs. The all-sufficiency of our Savior and his promise and his word. What a wonderful truth is that, the all sufficiency of our Savior. Then verse 5, you prepare a table before me. The shepherd and the guide is becoming the host now, and the sheep is like a guest. The major ease of the luxurious Middle Eastern hospitality. You prepare a table before me. The green pastures, valleys, mountains, and now a table. Everything prepared by the shepherd. We want always to be in the green valley, in the green pastures. But the shepherd reminds us that, no, as you go through the various stages of your life, it is the shepherd's plan that, you know, to direct you and to guide you through green, through valleys and through green pastures and through still waters. And now a table. Lavish spread of food in the presence of my enemies. That's very interesting. That is a lavish, luxurious spread of wonderful dishes, delicious food on the table. And the enemies are all jealous and they want to attack and take away my joy and try to, you know, create problems for the sheep. But that will not work. The shepherd will not allow that. The enemies, they can be outside the fold, they can make noise, they can try to do anything they want, but in the midst of them, there is a great celebration going on of feeding and rejoicing and enjoying the presence of the shepherd with his lavish bread. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Differing interpretations on the anointing my head with oil. When the shepherd brings the sheep back to the fold, you know, he checks for any bruises, any injuries, and applies olive oil and other oil to soothe and to heal. It can also be perfumed oil to refresh, like a perfumed scent. And the cup for water or for wine in this beautiful imagery. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That Hebrew phrase, Bet Yahweh, that is house of God, is always a synonym for the temple and the sanctuary in the Old Testament. So in the context, David may be thinking that after the trials of my life, I want to show up again to worship in the sanctuary of God, to glorify this God. But it can take us beyond that to our eternal home in the presence of the Lord. That is where we have his company and we have his presence always. So the sheep is always now with the shepherd in the Father's home. So shepherd, guide, host, and now finally the sheep is in the shepherd's home, as Jesus said, in the Father's home. That is where the sheep will be forever and forever. We are heading to the fold and we are on the way. And the shepherd is leading us day by day, and we will finally one day reach. So let me conclude with this. This shepherd is able to take care of your eternal needs. Nobody else can do that. Not only your physical needs, not only your spiritual needs, not only your directional needs, not only your emotional needs, your eternal need of salvation, of heaven, and the forgiveness of sin. Have you received this shepherd as your personal savior? Have you found him? Are you deviating from his path? You might have known him. You might have confessed him as your savior and Lord. But now, are you wandering away from your fold? He may be applying his crook to bring you back. Beautiful. Psalm 22 talks about Calvary. Psalm 23 talks about the crook. And Psalm 24 talks about the crown, the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us that he appeared to take away our sin as our good shepherd. And right now he is appearing in the presence of God as our high priest, as our great shepherd. And one day, without reference to sin, he shall appear a second time as our chief shepherd. What a glorious Savior we have. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the amazing grace and the blessings we can enjoy in the provisions of our good and great and chief shepherd. What a joy for us to ponder over your word, to meditate your word, to understand and to enjoy these truths one more time. Things which we have known, maybe many of us from our childhood, and pray that as we have meditated this tremendous truth, may it mold our thinking. May it give us spiritual motivation, inspiration, that we may draw closer to our Savior and live for his glory. Help us to be faithful stewards of the manifold grace of God and to be good students of your word and faithful proclaimers of the word of God. We thank you and praise you for our time together, and may the fruit of this ministry be consoling, encouraging, edifying to all of us. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.